that is, the question is, what do we make out of all of this?
Oh my God, it's complicated.
What do we make out of all of this? How can it be useful for our life? So that we will talk about this a little bit. Hari Bol, how are you?
Happy and sad.
Happy and sad. Yes, a little sadness is there. Yes, I also. But what do you think? Will be some little sadness. Happy, sad. I think without maybe doing this consciously, somehow, because our focus was on the holy name, Krishna reciprocated with all of us. You know, we try to focus as good as we could during these days which we spent together on improving our chanting. That is equivalent, or that's the same as improving our relationship with Krishna. Would you agree with me that when we chant the holy name, it's not really so much a meditation technique as it is a devotional practice to connect or turn to Krishna, to serve him and so on. And whenever we do this, there is a reciprocation. Something happens from above, and something enters our own little small world and widens our world. As I say very often in my new book, we come from the small mind into the big mind. or we change from the human doing finally into a human being, you know. We are in connection with ourselves, in other words. Good, so today we will just close up the session, now the whole retreat, and let's start. Jayaratha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Valla Va Girivarada Di Gopirana Palava Girivarada Di Gopirana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana So da na na na, ra ja ja na 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 na.
So da na na na, ra ja ja na na na.
Yamuna tira vana jani.
Yamuna tira
Yamuna tira vana jani.
Yamuna tira vana
jani. Nidhaya rana madhava kunya vihaji. Kunja vihaji, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Te Vasudevaya. Arati Vai Pungsam Ayoharati Vai Pungsam Udyan Astam Chayanaso Udyanastam Chayanaso Dasyate Yachano Nita Dasyate Yachano Nita Utama Shloka Vartaya Utama Shloka Vartaya Ayohadati vai pungsa
Ayohadati vai pungsa
Udyanastam chayanaso
Udyanastam chayanaso
Tasyate jachano nita
Tasyate jachano nita
Utama shloka vartaya
Utama shloka vartaya
Yes, please, someone. Wann Vaishnavi, please?
Ayuharati vai pungsam
Udyanastam chayanaso
Dasyate yachanonita
Dasyate yachanonita
Udama
shloka vartaya Ayuhu
Duration of life
Harati decreases Vai
certainly
Pungsam
of the people
Udyan
rising
Astam
setting
Cha
also
Yan
moving
Aso
the sun
Tasya
of one who glorifies the Lord
Rite
except
Yat
by whom
Janaha
time
Nitaha
utilized
Uttama Shloka
the all good personality of Godhead
Vataya
in the topics of
both by rising and by setting the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. So we hear here that with each rising of the sun and each setting of the sun, with each passing day, our life duration is shortened, but there is an exception. When you are chanting or glorifying Krishna, then your life duration is extended. It means really that you are stepping into eternity. So here is the purport for you. This verse indirectly confirms the greater importance of utilizing the human form of life to realize our lost relationship with the Supreme Lord by acceleration of devotional service. Time and tide wait for no man. So the time indicated by the sunrise and the sunset will be uselessly wasted if such time is not properly utilized for realizing identification of spiritual values. Even a fraction of the duration of life wasted cannot be compensated by any amount of gold. Human life is simply awarded to a living entity so that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. Did we get that? Human life is simply awarded to the living entity. What was this? Here. So that he can realize his spiritual identity and his permanent source of happiness. It's a beautiful purport. I will leave it here for you to pursue and explore it later. The idea which we find here is very good for our session and taking the retreat home. It tells us, my dear everyone, please be aware that as you are living in this world, your life is shortened every day. Once I gave a program, I believe, and perhaps in Belgrade or somewhere, and we had a nice stage, so I had two devotees come forward with a big long piece of paper. It was only this broad. It looked a little bit like this, only it was 20 meters long. So I said to the audience, please look, this is represents your life. Then I took a pair of scissors out and went like zip. This was yesterday, it's gone. You know, the piece of paper dramatically fell down on the stage. I said, this was when you were born, and the next day, zip, this much was taking off. Then the tick, 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 tick. I really went like tick, 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 tick. So here we are now, today, we have only this much left of our life. And my dear everyone, although it is so simple, it's so, in a way, so obvious. No one was speaking in the audience. There was no sound. They all watched. Me chopping off their life time, and they felt some drama. Even today, if I meet a person who happened to be in that program, they would say, "My God, you really made an impact on us." Simple, but when you think about it, each single day, by rising and by setting, the time which is allotted to you, maybe it's 90 years, maybe it's 85 years, you are taking away from that. And it can never, ever be gained back. All the billions and millions of dollars in the world can't take even one little tiny piece of paper, one snippet can buy that. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? So the purpose of the human form is, according to Prabhupada, it is given to us so that we can realize our eternal life together with Krishna. We are his part. We belong to God. We all know this. It's innate in us. It's in here, this yearning to be connected with him. And in the human form of life, we can make an endeavor for this and to join him. That's the whole meaning of sadhana. In sadhana, you have the syllable sat. Sat means eternal. So the sadhana, the spiritual practice, is really preparing you for what is eternal, no? What cannot be taken away from you. And of all the sadhanas for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, for us, it is very often emphasized, the chanting of the holy name is really most efficient, most beneficial, and somehow we have to make this work. So for a few days, I don't know, was it 2.5 days or three? How long was our retreat? Yeah, good. Three full days, we count all the sessions together. We really put a lot of effort into focusing on our relationship with Krishna in the holy name, or as the holy name. And I really must say, I'm very impressed by you. I must say, sometimes I'm, as a facilitator for this retreat, I try to keep an atmosphere of sincerity and focus, and I may speak a little bit strongly at times, but that's only to keep the atmosphere focused. Especially I found out in the South European countries, that's important to really bring devotees to the space where they are fully focused and take it very serious. So I can relax that part in me now who wanted to create that serious atmosphere, and can congratulate you. Every one of you was really contributing to the wonderful experience we had. Really, I saw no exception, which is rare. All of you, even the children, Manya and Galindi and Jagannath is there. Where's Jagannath? Ah, Haribo Jagannath. Jagannath looks already like a sage, 120 years old. So even the children were really focused, were not. I mean, I hope you played also a little, but at least in the session, you were absolutely focused and so on. And yes, we heard a lot and we did a lot and so on. But the essence really is very simple. We tried to establish a relationship to Krishna, or not just establish, we tried to improve our relationship to Krishna, then it became very nice. I asked Manditangi this morning, who has had a lot to do with organization, and I do know, I have often been in the role of organizing something. Ooh, it's not so easy. You have to move a lot of matter, a lot of energy, and a lot of to just create a good experience for everyone. And I asked her, how do you feel after this lot of effort? And she just said, I'm very happy, because that is what happens when we focus on Krishna. We do become very happy. Now, it is seen that when you make such an experience, They are called in academic language peak experiences. You don't usually stay there, but you come down again to the normal life. Peak is the highest point of a mountain. How would we say peak in the local language? Well, yes. I'm saying yes because I have heard your language very often and I recognize individual words. So when you walk on a mountain and you reach the peak, it's usually an euphoric experience. You look at the world from a perspective which you never had before. You know, when you're up there, you look down and whew, it is have some of you been on the peak of mountains? Who has been? I have been, certainly. I think most of us have been. It's a wonderful feeling when you finally climb there. Even a little while ago, I was with Govinda Priya, Maturananda, Velko, Takudalye. We went and split on this mountain. It's not such a super high mountain, but it is a mountain. And when we were up there, wow, there was such a Velika speciality atmosphere, you know, and we could not look down because there was fog all around us, which for us was even better, you know. So, but you have a wonderful, it's a unique situation, and so on. But everyone comes down, you know. We come down to take our prasadam, we come down to do our regular normal activities, and we are not people who live on the peak, we live in the valley, you know, we humans. So it has always been in the interest of spiritual people to somehow, when they leave the peak experience, so to say, the high special experience in their spiritual life, to see how they can take a little of that into their daily life and enhance and beautify their lives. That's always very experience and necessary. See, we all have been on a peak, not just, I mean, literally we have been on high in the mountains, in Dushan's wonderful ecstatic palace, you know, this nice facility, retreat center. We have been for 3 days really on top of the mountain, but also in a spiritual sense, some of us have made deeper experiences with the holy name, and now we will go back to our normal life. So how can we take this with us so that it is of benefit? We will not take the peak with us, but we will take some lesson with us, some insight, some knowledge, something that became clearer to us. And that, I think, is for everyone, that if we focus on the holy name, there is a wonderful reciprocation. So we have prepared for you a little paragraph. This slide is called how do we change, or you could say it even better, the dynamics of change. Let us see the butterfly. It turns from a little larva. Is it larva? Larva. What?
Larva.
Larva. Yes, larva, into a beautiful, I think this is an admiral butterfly. They can fly very high. There are butterflies which fly in a year. They fly from Canada, imagine this, from Canada to South America. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I've learned from biology. I've Googled. They get into what is called a jet stream. That's a wind up there, high up there. And then they go with the jet stream for huge amounts of kilometers. I also thought, well, the butterfly, it's not such a big flyer like the eagle is. It can only go 20 meters from the door and then go back to its house where it lives. But I was corrected. There are... I'm now so forgetful. I knew the name of this butterfly. Monarch, yes. The Monarch. Monarch, wow, that sounds like Kaiser Friedrich, you know, the emperor. No? Maybe he's called Monarch or Emperor because of this tremendous ability to fly so far. I mean, these are thousands of kilometers. And they all start as these little things there, which you see on the left side. In fact, we would have to continue with some other photos. They are usually these gusenice, who is crawling on the earth. Do we say gusenice? Gusenice. Yes, the gusenice. So they are usually starting, and then they transmorph into these beautiful creature. Does anyone know, is this by any chance the monarch, or is it someone else? It looks like an, who knows, our academic?
I'm not sure if it's, what it looks like, but I'm not sure.
I think your specialty is not butterflies, no? It's a hobby, yes. I really urge everyone of you. Last time I went to Florida, Brahma Tirtha Prabhu said, "Let me take you to a special place." And I said, "May I know what is the special place?" And he said, "No, just say yes. You will enjoy it. I promise." And I said, "Yes." So he brought me to this amazing place. It was a recreation of a jungle in South America, and you needed to go through two doors. And when you went in, the atmosphere was very humid, and there were many butterflies. I mean, beautiful butterflies. I have even, we took photos. Ananta Goranga was with us, and he took photos. And afterwards, we went to this part of the butterfly observatorium, where they would show us butterflies in various stages of pubation, it's called. So, yes, this has been the symbol in many spiritual cultures, including our own, for transformation, for turning into something else. Now, in order to do this, for the butterfly, there needs to be a certain, it's a biological program which is inside and which becomes activated at certain due to certain hormones, and then it makes this amazing transformation. If we want to transform and become better in our relationships, we also need to put a program inside. And this program is called The Dynamics of Change. And I want to introduce it to you. We have it here. If you want, you can. It all starts, like in our Isha formula, with the intention that we must first, I will speak now in relationship to the Holy Name. We must sit down and reflect and evaluate our present japa habits. When you come home, you should sit down and say, okay, what is a normal japa day for me like? We are not speaking of the retreat, no? A normal japa day. And you will just go through it. Okay, when do I rise? How many rounds do I chant in the morning? Do I need to distribute my rounds? I do some in the morning, some in the afternoon. What are my present japa habits at the moment? Ask yourself questions like, am I chanting regularly? Do I chant with deep absorption, or am I a little on the surface? Am I regular, or am I quite irregular? Am I distracted or focused, or am I perhaps lazy that I don't even wish to complete my rounds? Think of how your japa practice has been for the last 5 years, and do something which is maybe unusual for you. Be absolutely honest with yourself. You will not publish it. No one will find out on the internet what are your present japa habits. You can be honest with yourself. You don't need to hide behind something which is better than it is. You just be honest and realistic. That's the first think how your japa practice will look 5 years ahead of you if you don't change. You will find out, if I continue like this, most probably I will not progress to a happy human being. So that this brings you into the second stage. I can't see it from here, but on my paper it says contemplation. Is that correct, Nimai?
Yes, yes.
Contemplation, yes. Sit down and think honestly how you can increase your faith in chanting. See, it's not advisable if you want to just say, oh, I need to chant better, let me chant more rounds. If you don't have an underlying faith that this is good for you, you will not maintain a more improved practice for a long time. If you want to improve your chanting, or if you want to improve your relationship with Krishna, you always have to work on the level of faith first. Your faith will determine everything which you do. Most probably you are not chanting so well at the present moment because your faith in this practice is still very small, and you have maybe seen that you tried and you failed so much, so you think, well, another reform will not really make any change. Remember our first session when we spoke about the blocks of chanting? No? You will identify one or two of these blocks of chanting, most probably. I don't think it's possible to change, or it's just too much work for me to change. I have so many things going on at the moment. I mean, I have no money, I have no love in my pocket, I have no friends, I really need first to work on these things. You may think like this, so it's good if you identify the blocks in you and build up faith. Then comes stage three. Can someone read stage three?
Preparation.
Yes. Before you make any concrete steps in improving your japa, it's good to prepare the circumstances. I always find out when I want to do a drastic change in my life, I first need to start at my writing table. I need to put them in order. If it's so full with so many other things. Have you sometimes put your room in order? Does this happen to you? Yes. Do you know how much energy you get for new things when you just some old things you may even throw them away? Yes. And put everything a little in order, because you need to create space if you want to put something new into your life. I think it is clear. So you prepare yourself. You may prepare a place in your room where you want to sit down. You may look at your altar, and you may think, "My God, is that dusty?" And the picture of I have no picture of my Guru Maharaj on the altar. Yeah, I know I'm not the best one here, and so on. And you may prepare the space a little and prepare yourself. For instance, if you want to make a japa reform, but the night before you do binge looking and come to bed at 1 o'clock, one moment, I have to just do something for the voice. I hope my voice will keep with me, because, oops. Soon I have to give a concert with Goran Karan in Sarajevo and have to sing beautifully like a parrot. Ah, Krishna. So, after preparation, let me see if I have forgotten something. Yeah, I always think when I want to chant nicely, I always read a lot about Krishna, because then my consciousness is more drawn towards Krishna, and I'm more actually willing to put in extra time, in fact, all of my time. Some of you have heard that once a year I chant extra rounds, more than 16 rounds, and during this time I don't chant all day. I also read and so that I can think of Krishna and so on. So in any ways, you may you must make some adjustments for you. If you want to sit down and chant concentrated, you can't eat all this heavy food which you eat. You need to move a little bit more. Perhaps some of you need 7 minutes fitness training every day, so that the heartbeat is strong enough, and so on. Preparation is very important, my dear devotees. If I want to do something special and I'm not prepared for this physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, I won't be able to do it. I remember when we went once, 1 year, we went to Tibet and we did a parikrama around the sacred mountain of Kailash, and we started at an altitude of 4,600 meters. Ooh. And our highest point was 5,600 or 700, I believe. It was at the Dralmala Pass. And I knew, because I'm not so physically so super strong, I knew I need to prepare myself. So I went 1 week before into Nainital, a place high in the mountains in the Himalayas, and I walked every day high onto the mountains as high as I could come, so that I was prepared and would not suffer from high altitude sickness. I did not do enough preparations. One day I almost died from this high altitude sickness. Oof, that's a terrible illness, which comes to everyone who's not enough prepared. You know, you vomit and you cry and everything comes out of every single hole in the body at once, and you. You explode like the Vesuve, you know, and it's really embarrassing, and you can throw your cloth away afterwards. It's and you feel very, very bad. You feel like, yeah, like this is the end. The heart runs crazy. The nerves are on fire. Never have high altitude sickness if you can prepare yourself before. So, and if you want to do something significant in your life, you may need to have a little preparation, physical, spiritually, emotionally. You may have to work on your faith factors and so on. And then comes stage four. What is stage four, Nima? You can see very nice. Action. Wow, that sounds like you. That's the area when you put your plans into action. And after 1 week, you re-evaluate. You look back and you ask yourself the question, how did it work? And you may have to adjust your plans. Maybe your plans were a little unrealistic, no? Maybe you thought you had things which were too high or too low. You know, you reevaluate, and then comes stage five. Do we have a stage five there? Change. Well, change. Yeah. Here is a change. I would also like to call it maintenance, you know. But you will first see, when you do these things, there will be a change. There must be a change. It is not possible that if you have worked on your intention, if you have thought about it and reflected about it and then prepared yourself and made a realistic plan, and then if you have done the action, it's not possible that you remain the same. It's simply not possible. These dynamics of change will work as sure as if you grab a live wire. You have a lot of electric energy in you when you do this. There is not one single person, not even in the Balkans, where this does not work, because it works. When you jump out of a window, you will give yourself over to the gravitational force. Then the gravitational force will pull you to the only destination, that's the ground. So in the same way, when you do these dynamics of change, they will work. I think some of you are not having enough faith. This is my observation. And I highly recommend you to work on your faith by reading appropriate literature, by maybe having good association of devotees who are inspired, inspiring, and in this way prepare yourself a little bit in the faith section. Your faith, lack of faith, may not be even philosophical. It's, I think, faith in yourself. This is what I have seen. You don't have enough faith in yourself that you can do it. And you need to work on this. If you have no faith in yourself, that means you have no faith in the possibility of change. Good. This is something I wanted to say. Let me just look at. I look at the time. Yesterday in the morning, I gave you a lecture on the different things you need to do in order to make a better fundament in your spiritual life, and you will get this list through Manditangi. I've forgotten to ask my secretary to send it to her, to Manditangi, but I will do this today, and then you will get it as soon as possible. And you will also get a list of the 7 points, the 7 P's, I call them with P, which can help you to work. They're very simple, very straightforward, very enjoyable and pleasurable. They're sugar-coated practices, which you will certainly like. Sugar or chocolate. You like chocolate more, perhaps. Chocolate-coated practices. You will like them very much. It's very easy, and they are highly effective. It's about place, posture. And even if you if all this sounds too much, I think the human brain can remember 3 points. Did you find the Isha formula helpful for yourself? And it's very simple, and it's very straightforward. It's very obvious. It's not something highly esoteric. It is immediately working. No intention, sincerity, and attention in your practice. You can just perhaps take a piece of paper, write this down, and then before you start, okay, what do we do here? Ah, sankalpa. Okay, then what do we do next? Sincerity. I have to chant from that part. I have seen many of you have, like it is normal in South Europe, you have a joking part in you, you have a lazy part in you, you have a playful part in you, you have a philosophical part in you, you have different parts. And to be sincere in your spiritual practice just means you need to go to that place in you which is spiritual, which you responded to when that part called, what are you doing with your life? You know, you must become a devotee, you know, and then you followed that path. You have to find that path in you, a part in you, and chant with that part, and then during the practice always be attentive as much as possible. So these are simple things which you can take away with you, and don't forget, if you have not yet registered with Manditangi, as a list of, you know, where she will send you the small japa guide, then you may do so. Good. I have come to the end, and when I have been with great devotees and I've asked them for help, they have always said, and in India I've met a few, they say Kalyan Ho, may there be auspiciousness for you. So I also from my heart wish you all the best. I wish you that this was useful for you in some ways, and that you will lead an very wonderful life, full of happiness and full of divine empowerment. That is my wish, that you are entering the flow of dynamic Krishna consciousness. And I was very happy to serve all of you. It was my great fortune. I told Manditangi this morning, this is what I like to do in my life. I also have other projects which I also like to do. It's not the only one, but that's certainly one of the Amongst the first five projects, it's one of those which I really, I would even say the first three projects in my life, which I like to do, and I'm grateful that you gave me the chance. I'm very grateful also to our sound person. Sound persons are very important in making an event, and to all of you who even brought kadamba trees here. Yes, these trees are chanting there. You can see they have the Maha Mantra on the leaves. They're very spiritual trees. Perhaps, yes, I see Uru Krama. He has a new name. Since 20 years, so cannot remember him. What?
It's right.
Uru Krama?
Yeah. Before he had an
opening. Acha! I've learned something in my life. You were sitting under a Kalpa Briksha tree, Uru Krama. Yes, it is. Good. So, I think we can end here. I think we should end, in fact, here, because you wish to breakfast is also there. Excuse me, please.
It was planted till 9:30, so we have some.
Yes. I've said what I wanted to say in this section. Is there anyone who has perhaps a question? But please think if that question is relevant for the entire audience. No? Yes, Ramahari, we have a microphone for you. Ramahari.
I don't want to sound a little bit mood killer now.
I'm sorry.
But I have a question to ask. I really like this formula, and I've been, in some ways, I've been trying to implement it in my own chanting. But sometimes when I try to put a sankalpa, I just feel I cannot connect with it. And then even if I try to go to the second stage, to be sincere, to connect with that part of me that wants to chant, sometimes it's so difficult to find it. And sometimes I try to read the prayers, but it just does not work. And it just feels like I can't find that part of myself that really wants to chant at that moment. And I have to get my rounds done, because the day will start and, you know. So what do we do when none of it works? And we still have to chant. I'm sorry.
No. This question is addressed by Ramanuja Acharya, and also in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam asks, what if you don't have any taste for devotional service, for bhakti? No, in the second chapter, this is, it gives an amazing and almost transrational answer. It says the taste in Bhagavad Katha, in hearing about Krishna, is born when you serve devotees. And Ramanujacharya, he is also a great scholar of the Bhagavatam. Perhaps he had this verse in mind, but I don't know. He says, when no sadhana works, there is still one sadhana which will always work. Associate with the devotees and serve the devotees. I know when no sadhana works, we have the tendency to hide. You know, we go into a little apartment in the lower planetary systems where there is a computer with access to the internet and then we hide from this, and then as we as we are filling our consciousness with more material informations, our taste is even becoming lesser and lesser and lesser, until we hit the bottom and we say, okay, enough. If I continue like this, in this negative spiral, I will soon be dead spiritually. I better do something. And usually what really works, you can see yourself, you go into the Association of Devotees again. And there it is really born. I like the practicality of this. This is both in the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya. You know, serve the devotees, have association with them, and you will certainly get taste in these transcendental subjects. And so it is at Ramanujacharya's advice, when no sadhana works any longer. There is Ayurveda even goes one step lower. It says, when you are depressed and nothing works, you are sad, sit with the cow. Because depression is tamagun and rajagun, and the cow is in sattva. I don't really know if this refers to the modern cows, which are very unfortunate. Many modern cows are very stressed because of how the milk is pulled out of their udders and with blood, and they are very stressed, and also they know they will be going to the slaughterhouse. But in the Vedic times, people who were sad, who were covered, they were actually asked to go next to a cow. Perhaps it works if you make a sound recording of Vrindavan cows, and then when something is not working, you have your apartment full of moo, moo, moo. And then your neighbors will think, now finally, I mean, we could understand when he was growing a beard, you know, we could understand when he came one day with this cloth around his legs, but I think now he has hit the absolute record, you know. We hear loud mooing out of his apartment. I don't know if it will work or not. I have never tried it, you know. Maybe some nice music, some sattvic music with some mooing in between, you know. But Ayurveda says when our mind is so much covered, that we should sit with the cow or serve cows even. You know, clean them, feed them, and so on. You will go to Vrindavan. I really want to inspire you. Spend a day in the Goshala and see if you can do some service there. You will see, it's really amazing. I didn't believe it until I did it. So anyways, I think we all have this lack of tastes somehow, and that is there because the modes of nature have covered us, and what we do is we go to devotees and we serve. If we can serve them, that's ideal, you know, really do something for them. I was very sad, a very sad boy when I came to Krishna consciousness. I was not happy in my life. And one day a devotee said, you look so unhappy, why don't you clean the temple room? I said, well, I'm cleaning the temple room? How will that help? You know, I will become more sad. I'm not a cleaner, you know. I'm not so expert in cleaning. I'm also not. I have no experience in this. Mm-mm. And no, you're clean. Do it. You know, do something. So I did, and I felt very blissful afterwards. And I've never forgotten this to serve devotees, you know, with some manual activity that gives us the taste again. Because, you know, when we have no taste and nothing works, it means we are captured in a certain mind lock. Our mind has locked us in. It, you could call it almost like a prison, and the key is thrown away somewhere where we don't find it, where we don't know where it is. And at that time, when we are in a mind lock and the thoughts come again and again and we are not getting out of it, we really need other people, especially devotees, you know, because we are devotees and we want to come to this. They know where the key is. And they can come in to our little world and open the door again for us. But we often, when we are in this situation, we feel like hiding. We feel perhaps ashamed of ourselves. Or perhaps we think, oh no, these devotees, then will be kirtan and they will throw me in the midst of the kirtan and I really have no intention to dance, you know. I could perhaps dance a destructive dance of Shiva, where I, but not a devotional dance, you know. So then we go in the opposite direction. But we have to try it out. I think you know already, but please try it out more consciously, and don't hide, don't hide. Don't hide from Krishna and the devotees. Then you will never come out of it. They are kind. Devotees are kind. Krishna is kind. We don't have to fear them at all. Not even a bit we have to fear them. Hare Krishna. Good. Anyone else has a question?
Hare Krishna. In first session, we were talking about fate, about forced and about natural fate.
Yes.
So I sometimes have experience that I think or I see that I met some devotees who have, or I see like this, a very natural fate. But still they're maybe lacking in some, I do not know, in like following the rules or Vaishnava etiquette or like this. So how to properly understand this? Is this like contradiction or is this possibility that someone has very strong faith but cannot follow something?
Yeah, you are. Thank you very much for this. Your observation is absolutely correct. There are such devotees who have faith and who are... I was thinking about this a lot of my life. Perhaps know I'm guiding some devotees on their spiritual path, and I have seen amongst those whom I guide that some are very faithful, but they have a very they don't have a lifestyle where they feel attracted to a disciplined life, a regulated life. They are, and I could never understand how is it that at the same time they have so much faith. See. Then I read in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing that there are different personality types also amongst the devotees. Of course, we all know we all are different personalities. That's not a secret. But his perspective on this was very refreshing. He said there are those devotees who like to follow they like to have everything clearly and set out. They have this an exact explanation of the world, an exact schedule every day, structured life, and with many different rules that describe the behavior, that say what is right and what is wrong, and so on. There are such people, and then there are other people who, by that by their own natures, approach life different. They act when they are inspired. They can never act because this is the right thing to do, according to a certain catalogue of descriptions. They are requiring inspiration, and they are always in visions. They're great visionaries. If you ask them, they have an exact plan how to make the world Krishna conscious in so many days. And even if the first plan didn't work, they have a second plan, and so on. And for a structured person, this doesn't make sense. But we approach spirituality in different ways, you know, with our different personalities. And now, and there should be a place for all devotees. Of course, there are four rules and regulations which are the bottom line. You cannot break them if you want to be free from material influences. And there is a minimum of 16 rounds a day, and so on. But beyond that, there will be different devotees who prosper and blossom in different types of earths or environments. Maturity requires of us to see, yes, they are different. I was very interested when Bhaktivinoda Thakur described Kanishtha Adhikaris and Raganuga Bhaktas. And he didn't mean it in the sense as it is philosophically used, these terms. Kanishthas are just, he thought, they are the structured people, and the Raganugas, they are not advanced or anything. They are more these more spontaneous people. There's more, and so on. And one, many of our older devotees have said, we need to get these two types of people together. It's not that one group is, let us say, we call, in our ISKCON language, we call some the conservative people and the other the, what is it? Liberal people. Yes, that's just their nature, you know. And we need both. We need everyone and everyone in between. Hare Krishna. What are you? Where are you? Maybe not public. Yes. 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 Hare Krishna. Good. I think we have come to a natural conclusion, not a forced conclusion. It is about time, so we will hear a few orientations from our Manditangi.